Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, August 4th, 2019. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. Her message is The Table of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament lesson is Psalm chapter 122, and the New Testament lesson is Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10.
I lost y'all, huh? Well, I have been out and about as well. As many of you know, I was in Occidental, California at Westminster Woods for a week. I was with our young people in West Lafayette, Indiana, which you heard was very hot and very humid. I was in Tucson, Arizona, visiting my in-laws. Mark's parents live there now. And when I went to Tucson, Arizona, I tagged on some study leave days and also chose to go down to the towns of Douglas and Agua Prieta on the border of Arizona and Sonora, Mexico. It's about 2.5 hours south of Tucson. They're both small towns, and so it's a small border crossing area. I learned that Agua Prieta is sometimes known as Apson. I'm like, Apson, that's not a Spanish word I've ever heard, but it's Agua Prieta, A-P, Sonora, S-O-N, Apson. Who knew? So why did I head down there? Part of it is that my husband Mark and I, both of us had significant faith experiences in Mexico. Our high school youth group did mission trips to Tecate and Tijuana from Southern California. And so I have actually fond memories of being in Mexico. Also, we have been hearing so many things about the border, the wall, the immigration centers. I wanted to go see for myself. I thought if I'm already in Arizona and I'm already that far south, we could just head down there. I wanted also for my daughter, who is turning 13, to see it for herself and be there as well. For her, it was her first time out of the country. And even if we only went for a few hours, it's different. It's different to actually leave the boundary, to use your passport and go somewhere else. So what did I do in Agua Prieta and Douglas? Well, so the other reason I went is my really good friend Eric. Where's Eric? He's visited me here. He and I have been friends since seminary. So usually when I'm in Arizona, I go see my friend Eric. And he's a pastor in Tempe, Arizona. But he's on sabbatical. And so he is spending a month of his sabbatical at the border with a ministry there called Frontera de Cristo, which is a Presbyterian-sponsored border ministry there. And he had just gotten there, so he couldn't be a really good tour guide because he didn't know what he was doing. But he's the one who put us in his car to take us across the border so that I didn't have to ask my in-laws to take their car across the border. So really, I wanted to see Eric, and I wanted to hear what he was learning and what he has been up to. Most of what he'd been up to was helping to take photographs so that more people could know about the ministry there. But he also took me to this place, which is called Café Justo, which is called, which would be translated, just coffee. It's just coffee, because they serve coffee, but it's also coffee that is served in a just way and has a co-op between the growers in the Chiapas region as well as I learned the roasting part is the most, the growers don't tend to get very much. Most of the money goes to the roasters. And so they bought a roasting machine, and so more of those profits from the roasting and the distributing are getting back to the growers. And so, you know, small operation, smelled really good, especially if you like coffee, and they do some really dark roasts there. So Justice Coffee. I'm not a huge coffee drinker, but, you know, I went and had a cup of coffee because it was Café Justo. I also really wanted to go and be on, just to go, just touch the border. What does it look like now? So we started, this is the American side of the border. And so the border in this area is these triangular steel sort of fences. And then if you look up, there's barbed wire. That barbed wire is new. It's so new, it hasn't gotten rusty yet. That barbed wire has only been there about 6 months. And then you can't see, but above the wall, there's another sheet of steel that's kind of pointed on the top. So, of course, we pull up to the border, and the Border Patrol, you know, we pulled by the Border Patrol, but they came up, and we're like, hey, what are y'all doing? We're like, hi, we're Presbyterians. We're here with Frontera de Cristo. I just wanted to, like, see the border. He's like, okay. You know? And he was really saying, like, yeah, we got to be here. We got to watch out because there's drugs coming across this border. And we're doing everything we can to stop that. But that now they're getting these huge slingshots and they're slinging packets that go over the wall. He's like, it's so hard, right? So, I mean, I have some compassion for him and what he's trying to do and his vigilance on this side of the border. After we left, this truck came by with flat tires on the back of it and drove. They were erasing our footprints on that side of the border as part of the security where they're trying to track who's crossing and who's not. So I also wanted to see the other side of the border. So this is the Mexico side of the border, right along where you're trying to re-enter the United States. There are these murals, and they're triangular, right? They're triangular wedges. So it takes a little bit of artistic ability to be able to paint on the triangles of that. But you can see there's a sidewalk. There's grass. You can walk right up next to the border. I think sometimes our media makes it look like there are hordes of people like standing at the edge of the fence, like peering through, trying to get in. There's none of that. People are living their everyday lives. I didn't get a picture. My favorite mural had monarch butterflies on it because this is right in the middle of the monarch migration path. But certainly, right, butterflies, they can fly through and over this fence that is there. I also worshipped at a Presbyterian church in Agua Prieta, and somebody was gracious enough to translate for us as well. I share these pictures with you not because, like, there was any earth-shaking revelation about being there, but that it was one of those important places to travel and visit, to be physically there, to see for myself, and of course, to meet the people. The most fun we had, honestly, though, was dinner. You know when you go traveling and people, it's the food, right? But you can never convey to somebody else what the food was like. Like, you had to be there. But we had dinner on Saturday night with my friend Eric, with his 12-year-old daughter Danny, Mark, Sadie, and I, as well as the director of Frontera de Cristo, who is Mark Adams, his wife Miriam Maldonado Escobar, and all three of their children, Nathan, who was 12, Anna in high school, and Cindy, who was 23. Sadie had french fries. We kind of stuck all the kids on the far end of the table, and then the adults were on the other end of the table, and we ate at a restaurant called Rugus La Palapa. La Palapa is a pelican. But Mark got this dish of, like, caldo, like a soup that had all these spices and seafood in it, and I got a shrimp dish. But the best dish of the night was something one of the kids ordered and they didn't want, but it was raw scallops, but done with lime and soy and cucumber. And it doesn't sound like it'd be, like, really good, but it was, like, kind of like some of those fancy restaurants do, like the crudo, like the raw bar kind of thing. It was phenomenal. Miriam showed me her concoction of different sauces. So she would take her flat tortilla and she'd be like, okay, 3 drops of the brown sauce, 3 drops of the red sauce, squeeze a little lime on top, use the lime to sprinkle it and do a little bit of salt. Like, okay, but I'm happy that she showed me that. We laughed a lot, talking with Cindy, who's the 23-year-old daughter. She's a certified nursing assistant, now going back for nursing school. I tried to ask her, do you like being the daughter of a missionary? She's like, yeah, actually I kind of do. She said, I like popping people's expectations, like showing groups from the Northwest that, yes, you can be in Mexico and have a cell phone and have TV and electricity too. But she likes being able to show with a smile on her face that she is perfectly happy living in Agua Prieta, that there is a good life there for her. Here's the thing, though, about sitting down to eat together. We all got to eat. We all got to eat. Jesus came to earth and was incarnation in the flesh. And it means that while he was here on earth, being fully God and fully human, he also needed to eat. And there's a lot of stories in the Bible about when Jesus sat down to eat. He sat down and fed 5,000 on a hillside. He tells parables about the great banquet and who's going to be invited. And in the scripture story for today, it was Zacchaeus. Now, we think about Zacchaeus because he's the guy who climbed the tree and he's short. But really what Jesus was saying was, Zacchaeus, I'm going to come eat at your house today. That's where I'm going to have dinner tonight. It's a scripture that was preached at Triennium when I was in Indiana. And really, the insight of how judged and how outcast Zacchaeus was, but that's who Jesus said, I am going to come and eat at your house today. John Pavlovitz wrote in A Bigger Table, Jesus' table ministry is a way of letting people know that they were seen and heard and known and respected. Jesus ate with the priests and the prostitutes. Jesus ate and shared table with the religious elite and the common street rabble. Jesus shared and ate meals with his disciples and friends. And he sat and shared meals with his adversaries and the people who confronted him. And he confronted them. And Jesus sat down with Zacchaeus. In fact, he invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house. And oh, the onlookers grumbled. Huh, that's not who you should be eating with. And Jesus' response is to recognize that Zacchaeus, too, is a son of Abraham. But the Son of Man has come to seek the lost, and salvation has come to this house. That phrase, Son of Abraham, also brings to mind, we have a common humanity. He's part of the community too. He's part of your faith community. He is also a human being. He is also a son of Abraham. And hey, he also needs to eat. This eating together is that visible, tastable, shareable reminder that we are all human. We are all sons and daughters of Abraham. We all need food, shelter, love, safety. We all want our kids to be happy and healthy. And this is true across cultures and across borders. And so my friend Eric, for his doctoral dissertation, took on a project about looking at Jesus' table and the border. And what he chose to do was to set up a service by which they shared communion through the border fence. Ordinarily, the border guards don't allow anything to be passed through the fence, but they let them do this. And in passing back and forth the cup and the bread, it was a tangible, physical enactment that there are people. people on both sides of this fence. And that love and care can be given and received even across a political border. Today in our communion service, we're going to utilize the same liturgy and prayers that Eric used in that worship service that day. It's a basic message today. We're all human. I sort of thought it's almost too simplistic to preach and say on a Sunday. But then I thought, in this era of politicized words that equate illegals with criminals and rapists, that disparage certain countries, that are disparaging to an American city and comparing it to being rat-infested, I had to say something. I want to quote from a letter that was issued by the faith leaders at Washington National Cathedral. They put this out on July 30th as their statement, warning us and sharing with us as a country and as with their congregation. We have come to accept a level of insult and abuse in political discourse that violates each person's sacred identity as a child of God. We have come to accept as normal a steady stream of language and accusations coming from the highest office in the land that plays to racist elements in society. When does silence become complicity? What will it take for us to say with one voice that we have had enough? The question is less about the president's sense of decency, but of ours. As leaders of faith who believe in the sacredness of every single human being, the time for silence is over. We must boldly stand against the bigotry, hatred, intolerance, and xenophobia that is hurled at us, especially when it comes from the highest offices of this nation. We must say that this will not be tolerated. To stay silent in the face of such rhetoric is for us to tacitly condone the violence of these words. And so today I come convicted to not be silent. I do proclaim, as basic as it is, that each human being is of sacred worth, that each human being is a child of God, a person who needs to eat and sleep and hope just like I do. There are children who need to eat and sleep and hope just like my daughter does. And to remember in all our rhetoric and sides of this and that, that there are people on both sides of the border. And so I invite and challenge you to do the same. To both examine your own language and perspective that accidentally or maybe intentionally dehumanizes another person or group of persons, and also to speak up when you hear other people using dehumanizing language or terms. For in doing so, we speak of everyone as a son and daughter of Abraham, to speak of a Jesus who came to seek the lost, and mostly to do so by living Jesus' greatest commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself, another person who needs to eat. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.